Blog Talk Radio.
This is Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Alfred Muhammad II. My father right now isn't with me, but he'll be with me shortly. And so with that being said, I'm going to make some announcements, and I'm going to start off with talking about the Ramadan session, which isn't too far away. It actually takes place during my birthday, in between my birthday, between July 18th and the 20th. So my birthday occurs in between there. So the Ramadan session, 2014, Quran, a book of guidance and a mercy to all the worlds, intensive interactive study of Imam W.D. Muhammad's leadership and Quranic tafsir. July 18th through 20th, 2014, where at the Mosque here, 929 West 171st Street, East Hazelcrest, Illinois. Distinguished dynamic presentations include Abdul Karim Muhammad, New Jersey, Abdul Mahmin, Illinois, Abdullah Rasul Akbar, Georgia, Ila Muhammad, Illinois, Fuquan Muhammad, Georgia, Waruddin Muhammad II of the Mosqueers, Aziz Muhammad II of California, and of course my father, Imam Alpha Muhammad of New York. Lodging in the immediate area will be at the Travel Lodge Inn at 708-331-2400 in Halstead in South Halstead, Harvey, Illinois, or at the Baymont Inn, 708-331-7000, and the zip code is 16920 in South Halstead, Harvey, New Jersey, or at the Clarion, 708-225, the number is 708-225-1300, and the address is 610 Tollview, Dr. South Holland, Illinois. Purchase tickets online at wdmministry.wix.com/Ramadan session. Or you can mail a check payable to the WDM Ministry Special Events, P.O. Box 153, Madison, Illinois, 60443. Call 708-679-1587. You can also email them at wdmministry@sbcglobalnet, or fill out one of their little applications they have going in the Mosque Cares for Suhoor and Iftar meals available, and $100 donation covers all 3 days. All right, that's it. And also I'm going to read to start the program a speech reprinted from the Muslim Journal on April 7, 1989. And this is from Imam W.D. Muhammad, and the name of the title is, "You Have to Be to Get Prepared to Make It in the Land of Plenty." We have to understand, too, of the world that we live in. As I make these common and ordinary observations, the world, it is serious and comical. The world is sensible and it is foolish. The world is both decent and nasty. The world is kind and cruel. The world is peacemaker and peace breaker. Though the world must accommodate honesty and work to preserve honesty and cannot live without honesty, the world is both honest and deceitful. The world is not incapable of converting its every utility, charity, and blessings into instruments of war, war for superiority and control. America stands out among the nations in the most peculiar character of all the nations. As I see it, it is the most safe and is also the most dangerous land. Nevertheless, if you can be strong and be decent, the mighty arm of the world will not break you. Understand that you have to be prepared to make it in the land of the plenty. There's a need to keep an eye on what you want from yourself and an eye on what you want from the world. And in this case, it is what you want from America. Many of us do not give any serious thought of what we want from ourselves, and that is a big mistake. Muslims are religious people who are influenced by the religion to keep an eye on self, the present self, at all times, in a way that would please our Lord and Maker Allah. We are believing that we have to always present ourselves in a way that pleases our Lord and permits us to be in a good situation for progress in the land of plenty. I believe that the great religions influence that same kind of disposition in their following, since our disposition and attitude have a way of telling what we are prepared for. It makes good sense then to be prepared with them internally. I remember my father, the late leader, once say to the great gathering of his people, "I see how beautiful you are dressed without how are you dressed within? It is in spiritual expression where we can observe the force of sensitivities maximized, concentrated, and directed. Religion wants us to come into the proper spirit, into that spirit which Allah intended for his human creation. Question a person's morals, passions, or intelligence, and a spirit may take control of that person. It may take control of the matter at hand. As situations grow around us and in us, like the affluent society we call America, the situations become more serious, more complex, or less simple for us to manage. The more complex and the serious situations become around us and within us, the more we have to sharpen our senses and sensitivities. By the expression sharpen sensitivities is meant we must have more experience in sensitivities. Many people live long lives but never have mature sensitivities. Sensitivities do not seem to improve much through the period of their experiences. That is because they are people who are absent-minded, or people who have no real cares. As Allah says to us, he has given us signs in the heavens and in the earth, as well as in ourselves, but most go on heedless and unaware. By sharpening our sensitivities, it is meant that we are disciplined and we have sensitivities. Experience permits us to come into disciplines. I was watching a program on television recently. A teacher or instruction music was praising her young student who showed exceptional ability at an awards program. This teacher said, of that great ability that was demonstrated by this young sister, all I did was watch the channel Natural Instincts that were already there. So that instructor was paying a compliment to the nature created by Allah. What we want to understand is Allah put our treasures in our nature to meet demands from without. No matter what our present situation is, we are all created with the same excellence. However, the excellence has to have a condition and circumstances for its coming forth. Just as the plant has to have the condition and circumstances for its coming forth from the earth from a dead seed. It is called a dead seed, but is the seed really dead? The seed is not dead as a stone is dead. You can put a stone in the earth, the rain will come, the warmth will come, and the circumstances will come, but nothing will happen. But if you put a seed in the earth which appears to be dead as a stone, many seeds are called stones. Something happens when the circumstances come from its coming forth from the earth, and the seed swells and grows into a beautiful plant and a useful thing. And with that, I'm just going to continue then. Likewise, it is useful for us. We have to value our creation to make it in the land of plenty. Many of the failing people in the land of the plenty have no real appreciation for what they are naturally in their creation. They are fascinated and distracted so much so that they just follow shadows that are cast by things that cannot even identify. They will just follow influences in the confused atmosphere of the generated cultural life. They follow those influences and will take their minds and personalities and behavior from those influences of the confused around them. So how can they make it in the land of plenty? Is it impossible to make it in the land of plenty with that kind of weakness in them? We are especially happy and excited about the fact that we have come into Al-Islam and that we are Muslims. That is, we believe we have a situation for our life that is good. I remember making a trip to the mainland of China with a group of Americans as friends of China and America. As friends of both people, when we arrived there, we were met by Chinese hosts and finally were taken to the one who was to address us. He began his introduction by saying, "The situation is good in the heavens. Well, I feel as a Muslim that the situations are good now on earth." I don't know if I understand what he meant by the saying that the situation was good in the heavens, but I used to believe that the situation was always good in the heavens. The heavens were set by Allah. My heart was always content in heaven, but now I feel the situation is good on earth. Now, not only do I realize that I have a good religion, not only do I realize that I have a religion that pleases me. But I realize now that I have a religion that can please humanity. I have a religion that can answer all the needs of the man of many color or of some other color and wherever color. I have a religion that can accommodate my greatest desires and my greatest aspirations. I have a religion that can open doors for me that I see and the doors that I have yet not seen. That is why I feel so wonderful. Having faith in religion and faith in my creation, I will say with all of my heart and spirit that the situation is good on earth. Let us continue with the need for discipline, sensitivities, that is sensitivities that through experience become more fit and better to survive. Moral, social, financial, and political confusion in the land of the plenty. We are going to have plenty of moral confusion, social confusion, financial confusion, and political confusion in the land of the plenty. If we were a small country and were to go to some of the beautiful resort places for tourists in the Caribbean areas or to Morocco, there we do not have the same situation. In less industrialized areas, we are not threatened so much by moral confusion, social confusion, financial confusion, and by typical big city problems and confusions. In the land of plenty, we have to meet a great challenge for moral life as it is influenced by the land of plenty. And this includes social life, financial life, political life, and all efforts to establish ourselves. Overly played up moral concerns reduce the likelihood of us making it in the land of plenty. You will say, overly played up moral circumstances. We can't be too moral. In our religion, the rule is to guard against extremes because the extremes are the bad. The extremes spoil a thing. The extremes will take a good out of its true nature. When you go to moral extremes to a certain point or degree where you are overplaying moral life, you have taken the moral life out of its true nature. Therefore, we have to be careful not to go after moral extremes to the extent that we overplay the importance of morality. We have perhaps known some self-righteous down here on earth. They are not in heaven, but want us to think that they are. Some want to be called holy. They will go to sleep on their feet while soaking it up. We can overdo attention to concerns. Some will hold their heads high because they think they have a moral spirit better than other people. What they have is moral arrogance. We must be aware of moral exaggeration. Moral excellence cannot be established without a situation for combined functional life of morals and intelligence. We have to have those two things working together. It is a good situation to have moral concern focused in on the sphere or area for your functional life. When you are positioned for functional life, you are subject to take your moral life to an extreme. That will take it away from its moral nature. Allah says, if the earth had been populated by angels, then he would have sent an angel as a messenger. This is not to criticize or to reject the angels. No, for we know that angels are high in the creation of Allah, but Allah has de-emphasized the exaggerated attention that religious societies have angelic behavior prior to the advent of our prophet. See, so he said, this is not to criticize or reject angels, nor for we know that angels are high in creation, but Allah has de-emphasized the exaggerated attention that religious societies gave angelic behavior prior to the advent of our prophet. In some respects, some religious representatives are saying to become angels without human nature is our highest goal. The goal for us is to become human and obedient like the angels. And with that, I'm going to bring it over to some of the ads, one of those ads being that my father has Religion Means Alive in a paper, and on May 9th, his guest was Dr. Abbas Abdus Salam, and on May 17th, it was 2014, the guest was Maymay Ali. We had him on a while ago, and I know Maymay was a good show. And so with that, he says he's on every Sunday, Monday through Saturday, 6 o'clock, and on Sunday, 3 o'clock. And the topic is recovering from the effects of slavery and other self-help subjects of interest. Also, there's an ad in here for okay, that's it. All right. So with that, so Wali Muhammad, the communicator, is that he will be on 1470 WCFJAN, where they will have jazz, blues, soul, and more. from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m. It is every Saturday, and the number is 404-790-6106. And without further ado, I'm going to bring it to Joseph Muhammad, who will take over the show from here.
Today is 7/13/2014, and today is it's a good day, Sunday, and it's Ramadan, and that's good because Ramadan is good for religion, and it gives you a strong will. And today, what my brother read was really good about people who try to be holier and make up things about being, you know, being, doing, like, you know, stuff like that. And what he said was, he said those, and it said in the paper that those people are not really true believers. And if you're doing fasting during Ramadan, you are definitely striving towards being a true believer. So today is one of the best days for doing good.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another This Religion Needs Live. I'm going to have Brother Joe Muhammad come back on again to talk perhaps for the end of the day if he has the steam in it. Joseph Muhammad, I thought, was really an appropriate guest for us because he is very much interested in the world of business. He reads the New York Times business section on a regular basis. He discusses the many billionaires. He keeps up with them. And I believe that by God's permission, he's going to be one of our great business persons and will be the person that will help fund our schools, help fund other business people, help fund cultural centers, help fund government. We can complain about Sheldon Adelson all we want. That is the Caucasian Jewish fella that's financed, gave $200 million to Newt Gingrich's campaign. He said to give $200 million. Imagine that. $200 million. Now, that's a lot of money. He's probably going to put $300 million into Chris Christie's campaign, if not $1 billion. Well, we get it. Oh, that's a sin. Money shouldn't be like the problem. The reality is, it is a fact in politics. So we should never condemn business people. So today we are going to actually make an application of how Ramadan affects the business people. I want to say something again. First of all, to thank those of you who have sent donations to us. So I know that we're going to the Ramadan session, God willing. My address will be for Anne, a book of guidance and a mercy to all the worlds. And my subtitle will be The Establishment of Community Life and the Making of New Africa a Light to the World. And I'm not going to give much of it away, but I will tell you this. By God's permission, we are focusing on what Imam Muhammad told us to focus on, what I personally promised him that I would focus on. We're going to focus on waking up the African-American community. We are here to take our religion, to be informed by our religion. But we cannot ignore where we are in time and space. We can't make our commentaries in time and space as though we're in Saudi Arabia, as though we are in Pakistan, as though our people are established. We can't make those kinds of observations. We can't make that kind of criticism. We can't make that kind of cavalier. We have to bring it right home. A day ago, right, not far away from us in Jersey City, near New York City, some of us went into a Walgreens store, killed a policeman to rob a store in broad daylight. Muslim leaders, African-American leaders, Christians and Muslims, should hold press conferences to condemn those people. And eventually we will have to have armed men on the streets to put down merciless killers like that who just execute people. So our focus today is on Ramadan and its effects on business life. How does Ramadan have to do with business life? Now, I know some would argue, well, that's for Allah. Ramadan is for Allah. It's not for business. But just be patient and listen. Allah says, inspired the prophet to tell us that Islam is built on fire. And he also inspired the prophet to tell us that all of these four institutions are for us, but not for him. Now, the first one, why is it so important that we conceive of God correctly? Some of us Muslims, the first thing we get objections to with our Christians, oh, they worship Jesus as God. God knows that they're worshiping him. God is not affected by the fact that Christians worship God through Jesus. But God says false worship is the worst of oppression. To God, no. To you, if you believe that Jesus is God, or God is in Jesus' person, or that Jesus has some exclusivity, you are going to limit your own potential. If Jesus does not look like you, you're going to feel inferior to the people that Jesus looked like. And if Jesus looked like you, you're going to feel superior, and you may even commit suicide because you can't live up to that image of Jesus. So God says, and for the prophet to tell us, that false worship is the worst of oppression. So it has nothing to do with God. Nothing at all to do with God. God tells us to tell the Christian, your God and our God is one. But we as Muslims believe that God is over the heavens and earth. Albert Muhammad II read from a portion of the Muslim Journal where Imam Muhammad was in China. He said, they said, all is well in the heavens. Because in the Chinese language, thinking processes, a Confucianism, they feel that the leaders are heaven. So they're saying the leadership is very good, all well in the heavens. And in Christianity, our Christian brothers believe that God is in heaven, that he has really nothing to do with man's affairs. Now, they got some secrets from Muslims, and they start running with the idea that God was on earth, but that the average person could handle that. So therefore, they kept the rest of the knowledge in secret society. So we have to testify, God says to testify, that Muhammad is the messenger of God, that the highest station for man is the message of God. Muhammad, the prophet of God, that he is the prophet. In other words, he's fulfilled all the modeling that man needs. There's no need for any other model. Man needed a model for industrial life. God gave it to him through Adam. God gave man intuitive life through Jesus. God gave interpretation through Joseph. God gave education through Idris, or Enoch, that is in the Bible. God gave government and how to run government through Moses. And God gave Abraham the rational, scientific mind for understanding creation and creator. And he combined that all in Muhammad. and instructed Muhammad as to how to build the government. I believe our reading for the day in the Quran is, glory to my Lord, who took his servant from the sacred masjid in Mecca and took him to the fourth masjid called Masjid Quds in Jerusalem, and then elevated him over Jerusalem and took him up into the heavens and showed him the heavens, and he led the prophets in prayer and then went to the throne of Allah and came back down and established Medina. Now, I don't usually talk about current affairs. Now, certain current affairs we have to be very careful about until you're politically strong, socially strong. But I am going to say this. You see why God took Muhammad from the sacred masjid to Jerusalem and elevated him. Because then Jerusalem has been a place of political contention. And what we see happening there today is a slaughter of a lot of innocent people by people who actually act like they are Nazis. For three people, they're going to kill 300 and 400 people. We can't say too much more about that because we have to get strong. We're careful how we talk about what we're saying. You have to be wise to deal with enemy forces that are operating. This is not a message against Jewish people. This is a message against wicked people. Jewish people are good, sincere people. And we want you to know that this week is the week that two Jewish people laid down their lives for us. Schwerner and Goodman, Caucasians from Queens, New York, were tortured and burned. And they gave the African American, they tortured him and shot him in the head 9 times. We would never want to forget that, right? In Philadelphia, Mississippi, and in Philadelphia, Mississippi, President Ronald Reagan opened his campaign. You have to understand that there are still very several white supremacist forces operating in this country that will put you back in slavery. That's why you can't have naive, weak leaders who read a book, who think they read something from Imam Muhammad and think all is well. You don't know enough to even approach trying to make decisions for people. Now people will argue with us all day long. You don't know enough about the world. I don't care how many books you've read. You got to know the situation. But took him above Jerusalem and political rule. And the Muslim governments overseas, even some of these Muslim movements that are rising up, they are not even motivated by the Quran properly. They're motivated by anger. They're motivated by revenge. They are motivated by superiority. They should have gone to the African Americans, should have come to the African Americans and asked us how you get a wicked enemy off your back. We beat an enemy off our back. We didn't lose our dignity. We're right now in suspended animation. But I see great signs from the young and old that begin to listen to this broadcast, and I can see by God's grace, we are going to raise up a new people, a new heaven. I even listened to some of the young leaders who have been under the influence of the bad leaders. I heard one of them speak recently, and I can see the direct influence of what we have given them, direct influence. So I need you all to trust me. Continue what you're doing. Support me. I'm telling you, I had a big, big-time African-American and the world and the heavens told me. He said, you know, Imam, I believe you'll be able to wrap this thing up in 5 years. We haven't forgotten our subject. We never figured out subject. Our subject is the education of the African-American. Our subject is always up from slavery. And we are always influenced by the Quran and the life example of Muhammad as given by Imam Waridin Muhammad. Make no mistake about it. We don't have any of us in it. We don't need any of us. God bless one. I pray that all of you that can. I ain't going to tell you that you give you no excuse. I would get every penny I could scrape together. And I would trust God. I would make it to Chicago for the Ramadan. Because believe you me, just what God has blessed with me so far, what I have prepared for you is going to astound you. It's not only going to astound you, it's going to put a spirit in you. A victory. And if you spread that spirit and you don't let the devil and the hypocrites get to you, you'll spread. See, when you get moved, don't stop. That's the difference between me and a lot of you. Is that I, when I get the spirit, when I first heard Imam Muhammad, 1973, or thereof, I'm not exact on date, I went back to New York and I spread it. Everybody I seen, look, man, I think we got somebody besides Don Blood Mama. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you, I thought Don Blood Mama would not live forever. I thought he was going to live 800 years. But actually, he did live and still live in Imam Waridin Muhammad. So there's no need for reconciliation. There's no need for you to be embracing and smiling and kissing up to some lying hypocrite. I said it's a lying hypocrite dropout. I see another skinning, grinning person, skinning and grinning on Facebook, smiling with this lying, rotten hypocrite. Now, our focus, our mind, our spirit, our will should be on Imam Waridin Muhammad and the one who operates on the people properly and gives them the spirit. Get out of the way and we will build the community life that we have. Now, we're still here with the pillars. And God says again through our prophet that all of these pillars are for you. Told you that the way we make the Shahada thing, the witnessing that we make, is absolutely for your benefit, not for God. Doesn't change nothing that God does at all. If you're sincere and you're pure and you're a Christian and you're hollering, hallelujah, and it has not yet registered on your conscience, God's going to hear you. He's going to answer you. He's going to elevate you. If you have faith, and some of us, we had the faith that our Christian mothers had in God, with the rational understanding that God has given Imam Muhammad, we would shake the world. I pray to God that I can get back to the faith that my mama had. Huh? And put that same faith in what God has given us. So understand that. We even have to talk about our differences between our Christians and Muslims. We'll talk about that sometime. But we want to talk now for similarity because we have a goal to meet. We have a destiny to meet. The second pillar is the pillar called devotional practices of prayer. We call it. It's not really prayer. It is a ritual that speaks to the five senses that takes place five times a day and expressly speak to the assertion of the word of God. It's an educational thing where the physical mind and spirit bows to God, slightly, head slightly bowed, eyes open, thinking that our thoughts should be open, and reciting the word of God so we can be open and reciting the word of God, proclaim the word of God. And when we can no longer proclaim the word of God, we fall as a social order. You can look at Carlos Slim. You can look at Paul Allen. I'm applying business now, so I'm talking business. I speak a lot of business language. You can meet Carlos Slim and all these billionaires. And if you don't watch Procter & Gamble, if you don't watch Time Warner, you're bound to them. And God said, so part of glory to my Lord, the great. The great one is your Lord. the nourisher, the cherisher of, and sustainer of all worlds. And he rules over the business world too. He can give you an idea, give you a script, and you could be the Mars billionaire. Oh, Brother Matt, you sound like a life coach. I am a life coach because God says, hire a celeb. Hire is life. Celeb is the word of God. And then the second part, hire. Come alive to cultivation. Come alive. And I'm going to tell you, God will give you more and more and more and more and more and more like he gives me every day if you go out and teach somebody. Huh? I don't care if I'm on the operating table. I don't care if I'm in the doctor's. I don't care what way. I'm going to do something to be a mercy to all the worlds. People may disagree with me. I was in a situation Thursday, in a situation where people, I disagreed with them. I don't like their life practices. But they were all so patient just like I was. And I smiled. Not to signal that our lifestyle was okay with me, but to signal that their humanity was okay with me. That they could see, here I am, a person. They knew I was a Muslim. They knew I am in the company of Muslims. They could see it. And they said, you know what they'll go back and say in that little small quarter? These were two nice Muslim people. They ain't no way in the world they could hate me. No, I don't hate them. I hate that lifestyle. I pray to God that they will come out of that lifestyle and I'll leave the rest up to God. Because God said, leave me alone to deal with my creatures. Enough of that. So 5 times a day. So the 5 senses. I feed the 5 senses the word of God. We're going to come back to the 5 senses and the word of God for Ramadan, but let's go now to the 3rd pillar. We've applied these pillars many occasions, and it will also be covered in a book that we're now compiling and preparing for you called Letters to the Black Man, the message of the black man, message to the black man revisited. Yeah. Honorable Imam Deputy Muhammad said, message to the black man is the bestseller on the East Coast. He said, I want you to read it a couple of times, then come to me. Do you know young people are reading Message to the Black Man? They can't find no place to go to give anybody, get an explanation of Message to the Black Man. But we have an explanation of Message to the Black Man. The Message to the Black Man is contained in the Muslim Journal and in the publication of Imam Warabuddin Muhammad. And you thieves who want to steal and make a profit with, may God's curse be upon you. The word of God, its translation. It's an Arabic word I just came across that means that God sends warnings. And the word, the Arabic word, doesn't really say warning, but it says something, but it means someone for the epoch. And God has blessed us with a leader that is answering questions for the next 1,000 years, the big complexity of questions. So we recite the word of God. Now, as we go to the zakat, it means to purify. But you know, every one of us Muslims and Imam Muhammad's community, you Christians, some of you are already doing it in churches. You're part of a ministry. Do you know we could wrap this job up and establish ourselves if we had 20% devotion that we had to the Ambulat Muhammad, to Imam Waqdeen Muhammad? The Ambulat Muhammad said if you had 20% devotion that you gave to the dead Jesus, he could set you in heaven at once. We don't have to work 7 days a week. We could give 1 day a week to the word of God that's taught by Imam Deputy Imam. Don't bring them other communities in here. God's blessing is not upon them. The mercy of God is upon those communities through us. God will revive the world through us. He will revive America politically through us. I see at least, I know at least 4 or 5 brothers right now could be the president of the United States of America. I'm not even talking to brothers who are in politics. I know one right now. right now, that's been a successful politician. He could easily be the president of the United States. He has what it takes. And there are probably several others. I've seen two or three others. And that's why you have to have fit leaders who can tell you that brother could be president. We have people right now on the front bench that should be governors. We have Imam Askir Muhammad could easily be the governor of the state of New York with ease. You think President Melinda Capps, the bold president, would have somebody to come to an event and have him to come, even though he's not the resident imam of Queens? He's fit to be the president of the United States. He's fit to be the governor of the state. He's fit to be the mayor of the city of New York. The mayor of Newark, the mayor of the city of New York, Imam Askir Muhammad from our school, came through the University of Islam, came through Imam Muhammad's school to give the opening prayer. Do you know what that means? That's what the Chinese will say. All is well in the heavens. Well, all is well in our new heaven. We got a new heaven that is slowly emerging. That you will have leadership. There won't be a neighborhood. I'm going to share a little bit of that. Not much. But I'm going to have a private meeting with all you all who want to really revive this community. I'm going to have a private meeting with you all at the convention. God has blessed me to come up with a strategy to revive this community. Don't try to revive the business life. Don't try to revive the education life. Don't try to revive the culture life. Don't try to revive the government life. The dead will rise with one single blast when all the concerns come together. No, don't say I want to be a rich businessman. No, I want a community life. If you have a community life, guess what will happen? If I got a true detergent and I got 2 million people in my community, if they bought 500,000 households bought $10 worth of my detergent, that's $5 million. $5 billion. Do you realize what I'm saying? 500,000. No, I'm sorry. 5 million. In a year's time, you got $1 billion. This can happen overnight, dear people. When you add that with bleach, clean the house again, we overnight, just a half million. But if you got 2 million of us, buying products, so business, the schools overnight, you got hospitals. At 2.5%, we got 10, 15. We're going to get to it. We're going to get it. We're going to develop this a little bit more, too, for Ramadan. But you got 2 million of us saving $10 a week. That's $1 billion. And you gave 2.5% of that to charity. That's $25 million. See, your 2.5% is of your wealth. Now, God, I mean, you don't ask you to give charity. That's sadaqa. But we want wealth. See, the way it is, we haven't gotten to that level yet. We're a poor community. But you got $100 million in the bank. You're supposed to give $2.5 million to alleviate poverty, to subsidize the working poor. Huh? Not pampered peacock beggars. That's our religion. 2.5%, and some even say that the business person should get 20% off the top for business. We should put that. We should get to that. That's what we need. We need, and some schools of thought, one school of thought in particular, I'm not going to give them any air, but they take 20% off the top for the house of wealth. Oh, I've used all these Arabic terms, Baitul Mal. When we talking to non-Muslims, translate it to the best of your ability. And the more you talk to non-Muslims and people with better words, and there are a lot of Muslims, 98% of Muslims don't know any of this language at all. Because if they did, they wouldn't be there with Barca. Now, I'm not talking about Minister Farrakhan. I don't want to belabor him. They would be with Minister Farrakhan's followers. I love Minister Farrakhan's followers. I embraced him, but I will never send a signal to the public that I embrace Minister Farrakhan, even though personally we have a very cordial and good relationship. The Iranians and the Americans, they don't get on front feet. They're considered to be enemies. Minister Farrakhan's not our enemy. He hasn't broken with what he's broken. He spent time. He blasted Imam Muhammad. I'm pained by it. He called Imam a person who hated his father. Imam Muhammad and the family members of all of them had the hardest time with his father's passing. Pained. So that's personal. And it's personal to me. Not belaboring the Ramadan. Let's move on. And then God says, through our prophet, that the fast on Ramadan, and that is a reward, and he rewarded himself. And what do we celebrate when we finish that fast? Let's not go ahead of ourselves. But when we give our will to God, and let's now go into the heart of our subject, the real heart of the subject. So the book was revealed on the heart. What is the heart of the our feelings and our attitude, our sentiments, not the intellect. And none of you could truly trust God, none of you to translate, and none of you would truly believe. Do you love Muhammad more than your own self? None of you would truly have faith until you love your neighbor as yourself. How you will love Muhammad more than your own self? And you don't love the best example of Muhammad, the best follower of Muhammad. You know, I read Hadith volumes of it. Muslim, Bukhari, Tirmidhi, some of them I shouldn't have wasted my time reading. I used to read them and study. Boy, I lived near a masjid, immigrant masjid. I used to read them all day. Just read. Had a night job. So I could go to the masjid during the daytime and I could read, and I just read Hadith. House and a half after this masjid that I could do, so I made it my study center. So I wasn't looking for anything from them, but I wanted to read it. I'm out of curiosity. I all read Hadith that said that these bad reports, that if you miss your salat, the snake's going to get you as big as a mule. The Hadith science, that's called Hadith Taqlid. He said, any hadith that you introduce in my name is though I introduce it myself. Not to get into Islamic study, but then most of the hadith, 90% of them not even reliable and should be thrown away. Why did I come with that? God wants your will. And he wants you to give it to him voluntarily. That's why he will reward. You can make the salat. It's going to benefit you when you give your will to God or not. You give, if you are intent, you understand the Shahada chain, it's going to benefit you. But Allah, God, the Creator, will reward you when you give your will. Now you give your will. My wife cussing me out. My husband cussing me out. I'm cussing the wife. And I refuse to do that for 30 days, at least 30 days. See, some of us think not to eat and drink. It's all you got was hunger. You haven't fasted. During the daylight hours, we are to restrain our eyes. This popular culture will eat you up, young people. You can't withstand it. Stand it. Had a young person, they went to the Jay-Z concert. Powerful. Powerful imagery and iconography. You can't withstand that. You had to make 16, 20 rock odds after you come away from that. Fast 16 days because of subliminal messages that come into your mind most of us can't handle. So during the daytime, stay away from them reality TV shows. Stay away from that drama. Work on yourself. Now, how does this apply for business life? African Americans have $1.1 trillion to come to hand. Why can't we start businesses? Immigrant Muslims will say to you, you can't control your nafs. The lower self isn't to be controlled. You have an animal self. Now, let's now apply this directly to our subject. The first 10 days is the days, 10 days of mercy. Mercy. God gives you an opportunity to adjust. And those first 10 days, we should really be working on developing mercy to ourselves, to our family, to our neighbors, to our religious people. We should just work on it. Imagine a mercy. Visualize mercy. Visualize mercy even to animals. Mercy. Thinking about all the hungry people in the world. Right here in New York City. Right here in Newark, New Jersey. Right here in Chicago, Illinois. Wherever you are, there are poor children that their parents have gotten a paycheck and taken the food stamps and ate it up. And drugs and gambling and whore hopping. Think of them. As that hunger pain growls. Think about that nursing home person. Think you Muslims should think that we didn't even have a place to bury one of the most important leaders in the Muslim community here in America, Sister Amina Rasul, Sister Captain Amina Rasul. I think Malinette, the women are called Malina, the female version of Malina. Teacher, Mu'alimah, the great teacher, or captain, I don't mind captain, nothing wrong with that. A wonderful and marvelous woman. That's supremely fair, honest, sincere lady. The supreme captain, the captain, and your uncle like mama called her his captain. His MGT captain. And Abdullah Mahmoud was not one to, he used words very wisely. But she was brought into the Nation of Islam by Imam Askil Muhammad's father. Great, great woman. You sisters, you should study her. She should be studied. Reverent and respected. It'll grow in you a healthy respect. So we should have that first 10 days mercy. Last Shabbat. Not a support of ours at this time. The last Shabbat is disturbed because he sees Muslim in nursing homes. And we don't see nothing about it. We don't have our own nursing home. First thing Imam Muhammad came for, well, we should have taken up one collection nationwide over our first nursing home. The first 10 days a day of mercy. You business people in business, take out part of your income, your wealth, you professionals, put out some of your wealth, and make sure that the pioneers are able to go to the Ramadan session. Take out some of that money and send some young person to the Ramadan session. Some fallen away young Muslim who may even be in another Muslim cult. Not for, oh, you said brother, the cult? Yes! Most of these groups that purport to be al-Islamic or Islamic are nothing near but cults. Personality cults of sheikhs who don't know more about al-Islam than I know about aeronautical engineering. And you know how much I know about aeronautical engineering? I'm brilliant at it. Because you know what? I know one of the things that make me brilliant at it, I know I don't know it. And the difference between them and me is that they think they know al-Islam, but they can't know al-Islam because they don't have the first concept of al-Islam, which is concern for people. They don't have concern for people. Huh? They're not concerned to be more like the Prophet Muhammad. They don't mind dressing like him. They don't mind putting red in their beard to act like him. They don't mind walking like they think he walked. They don't mind dressing the way they think he dressed. But inside of them, they don't have a pop moment. They're not concerned. They can't go to bed. They're not going to go to bed and make sure they can go. They couldn't go to bed, and know that people are hungry on that block. I don't know how you can go to bed and know that people are ignorant on your block. You know, I have people, they ask me, they come up with questions, where are you going? I mean, I said, wow, amazing. But, you know, I treat them with great respect. I treat them with great honor. I respect them. I go to their gatherings. I go to their funerals, to their celebrations. Because if I don't show any concern for them, why should they even listen to me? And guess what? They don't listen to you all who don't show concern. Mm-hmm. You know, if we once we get the love in our heart properly for humanity, it's not a product we had that they wouldn't buy. They would run up to us and buy our products. They would run up to us and buy the Muslim Journal. Huh? That's all I even buy. Doesn't mean they want to be a Muslim. That means that they want to know about you. They want to support you. They want to help you. And they'll be just like the Ansaros. And you would create so much goodwill that the next generation of them would become Muslims. If that's what you want. Next generation will become Christians. That's our business too. We should get out of that business of trying to worry about converting people. What we should do is get into the business of converting our own heart, particularly during the first 10 days of Ramadan. You didn't catch up on that? Just exhibit mercy. Recite Ar-Rahman. Yeah, Ar-Rahman. Recite it 99 times. And each time you took a pause. Or if you don't know the Arabic, no problem. The Merciful. The Merciful. We have people named, you can't name your brother named Brother Rahman. Yes, you can. Rahman is Rahman. He's a merciful person. Ar-Rahman, the Merciful. Or you would see Al, but that's not to get in a complicated grammatical term. But it means the Rahman, the only one who can be the merciful, the benefactor, is Allah. Anybody else is automatically a servant. That's all you can do. All you can do is do that. But what we do is dhikr, meaning a reminder of mercy. If you just had enough mercy in your heart for your neighbors, your home, and you business people had a mercy, we're going to be in Chicago. And I'm just pained. One of my children was telling me about getting on the train, on a bus, and seeing all these young men coming from this particular vocational for-profit school, one of which I worked at. And they were so concerned. They were so proud of these industrial young men. And I had to tell them that these young men are basically being set up to be exploited by corporate greed people who want to make money off the student loan money. So why can't we as Muslims and good people open up schools? Well, I'm going to tell you why we can't, why we find it difficult. We can't. No. Until we love Muhammad more than we do ourselves. Until we love our neighbors more than we do ourselves. To our inclinations as to what Allah brought through Muhammad. You should throw a sense of gratitude, Muhammad. And you in the Western Hemisphere should throw a gratitude to Imam Wahbuddin Muhammad. A gratitude. Not an attitude. Not an envy. Not a jealousy. Not anger. God, why you bless this nigga? Huh? Why'd you put this nigga in charge? This nigga is just like me. That's how we think. That's our feelings. That's why we have leaders that run out here and try to get ahead of Imam. That's why we have leaders running out around here having Ramadan sessions, Ramadan seminars. They're really too scared and too coward to say they have a Ramadan session. Why are they scared? Because Ramadan, said they didn't know anything about Ramadan until Imam Muhammad taught Ramadan. Huh? And the reason he opened the Ramadan sessions up is because the leaders would come to Ramadan sessions and get taught volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes of material. I'm just going to cite to you one thing he said in our old Ramadan session in the 80s. He said we could change the inequality in pay scales if we were paying in our fast food businesses $15 an hour, pay way above McDonald's. And you saw the man don't know nothing about no business. Shut up, you envious, jealous snake. No, you're a snake. You're not a snake. You're just a little eel. You're not a snake. You're just a little brother who's jealous of your brother. That's been fed by a big snake who doesn't want you to have any material establishment. So he tells you these kinds of things. Brother, he ain't nobody. Yeah. I ain't nobody. He could be nobody because he's from me. But let me show you how this works. Out in South Dakota, they are doing oil wells through what they call the tar sands. And they can't find people to work in the McDonald's. They got to pay them $17 an hour because people who are truck drivers sweeping up the floors are making $50 and $60 an hour. So McDonald's and Burger King, it has to pay $15 an hour to pay people. Suppose we did that in our restaurant. But we are not going to get into the restaurant, into the fast food business, until we can end the envy and jealousy and repent of that. Fight it. Fight greed. Fight the need to be over somebody. Fight the need for revenge. Say, God, I'm not satisfied until I can be rock mine, that I can be a benefactor, that I can help the society. Mercy. Be a merciful benefactor, a merciful redeemer. I'm going to work to redeem some young boy in my neighborhood. I'm going to spend some time talking to him. Yeah, my son sometimes wondered, why, Daddy, you said, I said, I'm going to leg them to all the young people, to everybody. I said, you know, I said that to them. Because first of all, two out of three of them is not know about it. Why do they know about it? There's farmers in their homes, but many of them are here, unfortunately, had contact with the prison system. And the strongest institution they've seen in the prison system is Muslims. Not the Bloods, not the Crips, not the Grapes. The strongest group among African Americans is the Muslims. So they already know about it. Number two, I'm signaling them that I'm about peace. I'm also signaling them that my intention is peace. And also I'm signaling them in the future we're going to enforce peace. So I don't say salam alaikum. No, that's sweet stuff. Assalamu alaikum. Say it like a man with force. And if he's a man, he's going to respond to that. Many times I salam alaikum, someone says, yes, thank you. But also, I'm doing something else, son. I am surveying and taking a census of how many people in my neighborhood know this. And it's unfortunate. When we go to New York City, one of the streets of New York City, they don't even know what it is. You would think with all that work that Minister Malcolm did, Minister Farrakhan did, but I heard Imam Muhammad said New York hasn't had dawah since Malcolm. Others call us to culture. They call us to black nationalism. But we want to call our people to al-Islam, to dawah, peace. So mercy. Learning to be merciful to ourselves, to be forgiving to ourselves, forgiving to our neighbors, to our family, to our friends. Huh? You had a bad deal with the brother. Next time, write it up to the contract. Think about them two or three business deals and never had a business contract. Well, shame on me. Next time, shame on you. The next time, shame on me. Should have had a written contract. But put the business interest secondarily to establishing God's will. That's the message of fasting, giving your will over to God. Giving your will, God, I want your will to be done, not mine. Now, God don't need you to be hungry. He doesn't need you to not eat food. He doesn't need you to not have sex. He's rewarding you for controlling yourself and giving your will over to him. Now let's move to part two. This is the second part is repentance. Toba, repentance. Returning away from my bad deeds. Let's just talk about something real. Major deeds. I don't think a lot of us Muslims understand that the big deeds. Big deeds is a so. This is if you're a Muslim. Now, some of us don't think we are committing this big sin. But astrology is actually shirk, or the sin of associating God with God. If you say that the creation is going to determine how you act on a daily basis, and you read it more than once, you've already committed shirk. Now, this is particularly for Muslims. Christians understand this too. Christians will go to get divinations, put spells on people, take spells off people. They are automatically engaged in what is called blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's Christian. That's a sin. And then our religion the same way. A Muslim can't go and ask some fortune teller to tell his fortune. Lady asked me, I want to tell you a fortune. I said, you know, what's going to happen the next minute? I said, oh, let me save you the trouble. You don't know and I don't know. So that's a big, huge sin. A huge sin. And will be punished. That's a sin you're not going to escape the punishment. See, some sins, you got sins, God can forgive you. He won't forgive you that. That means you're going to get the punishment, you can go on and repent. We're not to engage in fortune telling. We're not to engage in any of those kinds of things. To believing that a human being has some type of special power. Even the Muslims who believe that there are saints that can pray for you. You can't buy that. You can't believe that some sheikh has a direct line, a main line to God. You believe in that, you're coming out of the pale of Islam. Some of this I will intensify in private classes that you need to know. I don't want to step on toes of Muslims who don't understand these things. These require complex concepts. But if you study Imam Muhammad, you'll be clear about Tawheed, the proper respect for God, the proper respect for how we are to regard God. This is really for Muslims, but Christians understand that too. They cannot engage in sorcery. They can't engage in witchcraft, putting spells on somebody, having somebody to get your husband back, burning up a frog and then drinking the water from it, sprinkling this on somebody, all other kind of horrible things. I had a grandmother of mine. She was big into that. Even scared me then. Took a frog and put him in the oven, burn him. I guess the vibe from that frog is enough to drive somebody crazy. It almost drove me crazy just the thought of that. So we are to avoid, we're not to avoid that. We are to stay away from that. I told you about astrology. Now, we're going to get to the heart of another big sin for us as Muslims is the use of intoxicants. Intoxicants in any form, shape, reefer, cocaine, liquors, anything that befalls the mind. Now, why, I thought about this. Why did God put so much emphasis on it? What did he give you? Human intelligence. Why would you befall that? And I'm going to get to the next, and there are others. The rest of the sins are social, are basically social sins. But the sins of the mind and the spirit. The next big one is gambling. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. This is a big, huge problem for a lot of people who proclaim to be Muslim. A huge problem. Don't I guess not. Gambling. I told somebody I had a finance problem. He said, I'm going to play the lotto for you. I said, well, I'm sorry. I can't play. I won't accept the money if you do win. Can't accept that. Because what you're doing is you are putting one out of 25,000 chances that God will bless. God is the one who blesses people materially. So if I put trust in chance or in the creation and not God, not through hard work and efforts of my mind and spirit, and this is the time for us who are engaging in that bad habit, that addiction, to repent, to go to God at the strength. We have people right in this community. They have addiction services. And they can help you break these habits. Break drinking. Break drugging. Huh? Break pornography. Break wife beating. Break husband beating. These are the social sins. We need to put our focus on those big sins. It takes our mind, it takes our body, it takes our spirit. I'm not giving to you what I want to give to you. I'm giving to you what Imam Muhammad's given, and it also can be supported by the Quran. Again, that's why you should be at the Ramadan session. Quran, the book of guidance, is a mercy to all the worlds. Because not only is it a mercy, it's a strategy. Huh? God said, ooh, it lasts a billy law, this hikmati. Call on to the way of God. But wisdom, you can't operate on a person without anesthesia. I told a physician that. Hey, man, you're not going to give as much as a biopsy of me without having some anesthesia. And when you operate on people's minds, their body, their soul, you better have some mercy with them. Huh? You're here to hurt people. Not here to be brutally honest. Let me be brutally honest with you. Now, we're not here to be brutally honest with people. We are here to be merciful to people. We're here to help people, to strengthen people, to be honest and sincere with them. God says, and no more than be muklisina, sincere. Yes, so we want to be sincere with people. We want to be honest with people. We want to be with people. But we want to call them away from bad habits and call ourselves away from bad habits. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was one who called even himself. Someone said when he was preaching himself as well. That's what I do. I preach to myself. That's right. First person I preach to is myself. Some of my children would tell you. Daddy said, what I just said to you was wrong. Mm-mm. I like to be around brothers and say, Brother Kirk, God corrected me, cursed on Ramadan. I have a bad mouth sometimes. Huh? Ramadan, we should try to break those habits. Huh? Vulgarity. Slang language. Street life. Break all of that. Smash it. Now, how does that affect business life? It affects business life in that the gambling. I know a brother had a phenomenal business, three phenomenal business. So I finally asked the brother, I said, why is that brother can't keep a business? He said, I like the horses. And really liking the horses is an urge that comes into him, I'm speaking psychologically, that is an urge to tell him he shouldn't have anything. So he plays the way. I was just so pained that one of us who recently made the billionaire. And I was talking to this high reporter the other day. And I was feeling with him. I said, this guy's a billionaire. I was excited. Nasty Negro. Very nasty Negro. I mean, he's an angry, nasty person. I never wanted to meet him. But I heard he was a millionaire. But, anytime I see our people doing good, I really, 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 I feel really, really that good. And he said, no, that guy has a gambling problem. So guess what? And I asked him about another one that was on his way to being a millionaire. And he has a gambling habit. Gamble $100,000 on a card game. That's what stops us from getting establishments. One of them is a very extraordinarily generous person. But he blocks his blessings. And you know what? At the core of that man's issue is that man still doesn't see himself as having any self-worth. Multi-millionaire, world name, you mention his name, everybody mentioned. That's why you all have to support and promote Mosque Cares ministry. You have to promote sign ministry. Religion means alive, so we can reach out people that have resources. Not necessarily to get money from them, but to help them to be better people. Well, that's what we are doing. We're here to re-educate our people and to make them better. Better Christians. Better Jews. Better Muslims. To educate them, to give them life and life more abundantly. Yes. We know that these other sins, and we don't have time to go into them. Well, don't want to go into them at this time. But those are major sins. We know murder. We know also there's another sin that we have to talk about, too. That's a big one. Another big one is killing our children because we don't think God can provide for them. Can't do that. Can't do that. We have to trust God that he will provide. You don't provide for them anyway. All you are is an instrument to use what God has provided for you. God determines whether you're going to be wealthy. Now, you should desire to the best, but God is in the disposal business. You are in the proposal business. You propose and make effort and strive to God. God tells us again what he says. He says that strive and soon shall your striving be known. In other words, what you do is going to be the scene. We're striving to make this convention the best convention ever since Imam Muhammad passed. I told one of the leaders, I don't even think the leader likes me. It doesn't matter. So give me a list of 500-600 people. I'm going to call them up. Ma'am Alfred, how many people you going to bring with us? Okay, I'll put you down for nobody. Okay? Tell the people on the air. You're not going to bring anybody. Okay, good. Thank you, brother. May I want to continue to bless you. I asked one of the big leaders, I said, you coming? He said, no, I'm not coming. I said, you follow the envelope, mom? He said, yeah. What do you think he would be if he were alive? At the convention. Where you think Imam Muhammad would be at the convention? And I say, and you all follow his, right? Yeah, I'm following Imam Muhammad. That's okay. I don't have no further questions. You follow Imam Muhammad, you got resources. If he were living, where would you be? How you know Allah is not going to bless someone else to get great insight? That Allah will send the spirit to somebody else. Imam Muhammad said, Allah will show you the leader. You don't know what's going to show up. Allah will give that spirit and that root to that person. And that person can mobilize this community. The president of Mosque Cares is being blessed every day. At this headquarters where Imam Muhammad worked at is now a place where we can receive gifts. I know he's working. I know him. I guarantee you he's working. We're going to have a convention center. He's that kind of man. One family member described him as more like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad than he meant. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a builder. We need a builder. We got the greatest teachings on the earth, ever been on the earth. Nobody, I'm going to say it. You ain't going to be able to convict me of it, but what I'm going to say, I hope you can read between the lines. The greatest teacher to have ever been on the earth is Imam W.D. Muhammad. Because he's been given the greatest understanding. And that's predicted. The greatest human being ever walked the earth, Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him. Huh? The prayers and the peace be upon him. But the insights into the religion insight into the religion, the understanding. No one has been given. And if you understand this, you would get up and come to Ramadan sessions. I'm going to show you why this is true. Why Imam Muhammad is the man for this time and for all mujaddids and revivers. They'll have to come back 1,000 years now from now. Look at him. One hint. There had never been anything like the Nation of Islam. Nothing. That purported to be Islam and the most popular place on earth. There have been other movements similar, but there never been anyone that's gotten that attention. And Imam Muhammad took that by God's permission and revived it from his good intentions. Well, I would say revived it from his misalignment with his good intentions. And brought us into Islam with the greatest insight of anybody on earth. And you say, why should this take place? No one has ever gone through what you have gone through. And God says that he will reward every loss except for the loss of him. That's what God says. Now, I want to put some other emphasis here on these social ills that we are suffering as a people. The social ills that we are affected as a people, more importantly than anything else, is we are following the gods that our foreparents knew not. That's the god of wildness and anarchy and the lack of a spirit that we are working for the group. That's the sin of all of these people running around today, pretending to be having Islamic sex. I would say to him, just like you go in court and you come to the judge and you say, Your Honor, my client hasn't paid rent. Client sits up and say, I haven't paid the rent, but I intend to pay the rent. I have the receipt. I don't have a receipt. Person has a record. The judge, the reply of the attorney would be, Your Honor, draw your inference from the evidence. Infer evidence. Huh? Okay. And people who out here running all these different programs, many of the people that put these programs off are innocent. But the people behind them are no more than no less and connected to the direct Satan himself. A being, and you know, human being. He wants to stop Imam Waruquddin Muhammad. Him and his tribe. Because they got another scheme they want to bring in. That's why we need Imam Muhammad. That's why we don't need hustlers out here who are trying to steal Imam Muhammad's material, put it out there and make money with it for themselves, not for the community. They don't even care less about the community. They care about themselves, their children, their family. We're going to get strong and we're going to put a stop to that. That's one of the reasons I'm constantly bad-mouthed. Get people, next day somebody call them up, bad-mouth us. But guess what? They weren't strong anyway. So be careful of a whisperer as he whispers and drops suggestions. I listen to people. See, there's some people, they come tell me the truth. I know them to be liars and thieves. Even though they may be telling me the truth, I'm going to correct the truth from falsehood. So, continuing on this line of thinking, about forward, turning away from and turning to. See, we're entering the period, I believe. This is my belief, my opinion. We're entering the period of Tawbah. We have no lot of time to explain and spend time with crooked, deceiving people who have worked against our interests, who set up conventions, set up all kinds of meetings to distract the people. And some of you weak people, you don't know how to choose a pit leader. Tell you the truth, you go out here wandering, trying to come up with your own idea of what truth is. You don't know. That's why you have to have trusted leaders, fit leaders, leaders that don't mind telling you the truth. I mean, I'm not here to give you painful truths. I know what to give you. Leave you me, I think about what I'm going to give you. Ask a lot to guide me what I will give you. I want to give you that which is going to benefit you, not that which is going to cripple you, not that which is going to weaken you, not that which is going to cause you to doubt, not any of that. We want to give you something that's going to strengthen you, something that's going to give you a spirit, power, something that's going to give you the power, as we say and we discuss, so you can have business life, powerful business life under God that you have given your will. The second part, Father, turn it away from bad acts. All of us should put a list up of things we're working on and turn away from them. We shouldn't be the same person that we were last year. And I'm going to tell you something. This is the best time to break habits. You got a cigarette habit. You got a liquor habit. You got a drinking habit. Oh, hey, I'm Muslim. Ain't got that. Oh, come on. Imam Muhammad said, we are fresh Muslims, but old niggas. That's what he said. Trash Muslims, but old niggas. Some of these guys, like that guy that went in jail. I mean, went over there in that Walgreens. It wouldn't surprise me if he's a Muslim. He went over there and killed a person, a police officer. And you know why I said he probably has been influenced by us? Because the Nation of Islam and El Islam, Nation of Islam, not El Islam. El Islam would purify you. And I've seen brothers who were criminals. Started Ramadan 1975 to 1990, changed that habit. Brothers used to be bank robbers. Came in the Nation of Islam, falling under the criminal element. Man, they gave all that up. And they're law-abiding citizens. They're upright people, because there's no sanction in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. No rationalization, no justification for any kind of criminal mind. Yeah. No justification. No justification under any circumstance for criminal behavior. Children that disrespect our parents at work during Ramadan, give that behavior. Children that waste material resources during this 10 months of Ramadan, 10 days, second 10 days, should ask Allah to take this out of them. Study. Put in your lungs the Quran. Christians, I tell you, who are fasting with us Ramadan, read the Quran. You scared of reading the Quran? I offered some material to a lady the other day to a train conductor, and she was scared. She said, I'm a Christian. And I sensed in her that she'd had a bad experience with some Muslim. She's from a town heavily populated by a bunch of confused Muslims. Now, I said, no, sister, this is for all people. So we don't want to try to coerce people. We don't want to have the put-down attitude toward people. And you are Christians. Don't have that arrogant attitude. You in the church. I ain't in the church. You in the world. I'm so happy that we have here in the town I live in, one pastor just passed. They did funerals for people who are not members of the church. You don't know what these people have in their hearts. You don't know what they have in their minds. Some of them are better than people go to church. Some of them are better than people go to the mosque. We don't know. That's not our problem. Not our concern. our concern is to do as much as we can corporately, collectively, to establish the ideal life. And Muslims should see that business is an obligation upon us. It is a test that we have to take if we're going to pass. The exam to be acceptable, to be pleased, and pleasing to God. Our souls will never be satisfied. Think about what you did in the last year with your money, material resources. Pen of those bad habits. As I told you not to beat you up who have a gambling habit, ask God to give you the strength. You have that bad habit, you need some help, you can contact us. Just contact us, imamalfred@gmail.com. We'll give you some help. Whatever bad habits, what do you want to work with? We can help you. Our job is here is to help you. That's what you all donate and give support for, so we can be a ministry to the public, just like Mosque Cares is. We're here regional. We're here to be the group that helps Mosque Cares. Imam Muhammad said he was born for the mission. I believe that I was born for the mission of helping him in his mission. And therefore, you support me. God will support, will give you your heart desire. And I pray for you every day that God bless you, that he exalt you, that he gives you your heart desire. He opens up his treasures and give you wealth. Open up his treasures and heal you. Open up his treasure and mend your family relationship, your business relationships. That you have more investors. See, a business person is looking for three things after he set God and give his will to God and see his business effort as the will of God, not the will of yourself. He or she is looking for what? One, investors. Nobody opens up a business without investors. You think Carlos Slim, my son is not here with us. I know he would love to talk about this. Carlos Slim, you think Paul Allen, you think Bill Gates, you think Walter Buffett got rich on our own? No, someone gave him a grub stick. Think Buffett took $400,000. He invested it. I think he's now worth $60 to $70 billion. He has a $1 trillion company. So don't think any business person start out with his own money, and then they go to the public trust, pension funds, banks, and get the money. We got to build up that kind of goodwill, that kind of good spirit. But the more and more you become a better and better person. I'm telling you, I haven't gotten wealth yet, but I've gone into banks, and I've talked to banks, I've talked to financial people. And when we get the right group together, we're going to get the money. I guarantee you. I had a banker to tell me that. He said, I've been wanting to do business with the black Muslim. It has to be right. We have to be sincere. We can't cut each other's throat. We can't go as a brother manufacturing a product. You don't go. You as a distributor, don't go behind his back. That's treachery. I'll never make anybody's contacts. You give me a contact. You connect me to somebody, you have to never worry about me going behind your back. I had some brother that introduced me to one of the top people in the academic world, two of the top. I never used him to get back to those people. And this brother is not even a practicing Muslim. He wanted to call this particular person, another person I know. He said, can I get your permission, brother, to call this person? I said, sure. We have family members won't even get you permission. They'll go up and call somebody. Don't ever use people's contacts. I had a Caucasian one time to tell me, said, we went to try to get money for this business proposal we had for them to raise money for us. I want you to understand, business is about people raising money for you. Yes, nobody does it by themselves. They have public offerings, IPOs, pre-IPOs, So that's why the Quran is here to address us, talk about business. Let me offer you a deal. The Quran is really appealing to business people. It's really appealing. You really study the Quran, it's talking to two people mainly. As the Republican called the job creators, the social responsible people. In fact, the word insane is a highly evolved social creature. Not the guy that wants a McDonald's. He's talking to the guy that wants to own McDonald's. The guy that wants to compete with McDonald's. The guy that wants to create another type of fast food business. That's who he's talking about, talking to. Because that man can affect hundreds of thousands. I salute the people that own the main shareholders of Costco. Be honest. Don't lie. The owner, the guy with the main shareholder, what they call the guy who has the controlling interest. Man, he is a marvelous businessman. Pays his help start him off at $16 an hour. Promotions. Give him health benefits. I know of another businessman used to give his help part-time people, full-time health benefits. They are people who have given that will to God. They want the trust of God. They want God to trust them, and they trust God. Mr. Schultz, the president of Starbucks. Now, I don't drink Starbucks coffee. I don't think I'm promoting Starbucks. It's too strong a coffee. But I know some African-Americans now getting ready to get some coffee. I hope they're right. The Starbucks, he's even giving his people a free education. Can you imagine that? Isn't that Prophet Muhammad? Isn't Muhammad told us to treat our slaves, our servants, give them the same thing you would give yourself? Imagine when we get Muslim businessmen doing that. Imagine when Muslim business people say, okay, brother, maybe I'll start up with a lemonade stand. Okay, now this is on a small level. And the lemonade stand makes $500. Collects $500. That's our profit now. Guy got to pay for his cups, he got to pay for the lemon, got to pay for the ice, got to get a permit. So he says, okay, I had investors who gave me $150. I paid my investors back. Pay your investors back first. Then the second part you pay is yourself. Pay yourself a salary. If you get $10 out, pay yourself $10. Don't be greedy and get $40. Then give your help. Decent. Living wage. And then you said, look, brothers, we did very well. We paid our help back. I've doubled my money. Don't be a pig. So I'm going to split the rest of this up with you. You don't think the Lord of the world doesn't see that? You don't think he will bless you? Next time you may go out and do $1,000. Got to give me 20 cups of lemonade. In fact, take this $10. I like how you help. Oh, I heard you help my cousin out. Oh, my cousin had just gotten in trouble, and you gave him a job. He came home feeling good. That's the kind of business principles we have to have. That's the kind of spirit we have to have. That's the kind of spirit that went into the early Muslims who went into Africa. They were so decent, so upright. They had the same spirit that this African-American would even had fallen on hard times. And he put down a bag, and a lady gave him her ring by mistake. He didn't do like some people would have done, taking the ring and sold it. You know what he did with the ring? He held it. When she came back, guess what she did? She gave him, I think, $2,000. Not only that, she went to CNN and told them about all the news media. And there's a site called Kickstart. And at the beginning of the day, he had $2,500. At the end of that particular day, that man had $183,000. And I know because my wife gave him $10. See, I got to learn to be more charitable. I'm not that charitable. I'm charitable with my time, with my advice. I'm not as charitable with my money. That's the thing I have to repent on. See? I still got a lot of the streets in me. So I think the guy's running game. But if he asks, if you got it, you're supposed to give it to him. If your heart registers it. Some people are generous. Some people are not generous. But we just need to work on that. the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Okay. But that man, based on his charity, and that woman, based on her charity, will increase. This is what we know. We don't know other cases like that. But these were very successful business people who give and support their help and want to see others wealthy. Their stocks go up. Not like one of these companies out here that you go and get, or I won't name them. I name these companies, these people have people out here listening to you. Next thing they hurt you. One of them big companies treated people like slaves. We're going to be in the position that one day we're going to write them a letter and tell them to stop it. Then they don't, we're going to picket them. But the first thing we need to do is picket our neighborhoods. Tell them to stop all this damn lotto. The money we invest in lotto, we can invest in business life. If we invest that money in business life, we would have enough money to be left over, that we will have an educational system second to none. We'll be just like our ancestors there in West Africa. We're so rich, so successful, so uplifted that Mansa Musa gave away gold. Way before P. Diddy, he rained gold. He gave it away. He was so generous. See how the merciful, generous Lord has been merciful to us. That's where we came from. That's why we were called Hameen, warm-hearted. That's where you came from. That's where you were taken away from. And you are going to get back to that by God's permission, by your support, by your strong leadership and supportship. Now, I would like to know anybody that wants to go to Chicago for this Ramadan session. Please contact me. Those who have my number, you can contact me. We got a commitment from some brother today. He wants to drive out there with us. He's supposed to get a coat out someplace. He said he wanted to go because he feels like Allah is going to bless me with something to say to you. And I must tell you, my body is not feeling it, but my spirit is. I feel strong, and I have a message for this community, and I believe it will resonate through this community. We are going to stay on the topic of Ramadan. Ramadan said the Quran, a book of guidance and a mercy to all of the worlds. And I'm really going to talk about primarily the world of the African American, but I'm also going to address how Islam and the Quran through Imam Muhammad has actually been a mercy to worlds of theology, to technology. America's technology, they didn't have the internet until Imam Muhammad came. We didn't give it, let's not give the goodies away. Come and get your $100, come to the Ramadan session, buy the tape, distribute it, help us, support us, and you can send your donation to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Once we come back for the Ramadan session, those of you who sent donations, we are going to send you a letter receipt, and we'll send you some of you hardcore supporters. We're going to send you a tape of the Ramadan session. But those of you who can send it, it costs money to go. It's not free. We have to stay in a hotel. We have to ride. And the driver has to be. We have to help with the gas. We going out vis-a-vis Allah. So vis-a-vis Allah, we going to the path of Allah. We don't have any money. We don't have anything. We driving out struggling. But I've been asked by the president of Mosque, President Wahbuddin Muhammad, he asked me personally to come. I told him I didn't let your dad down. I didn't let your grandfather down. So I'm not going to let you down. You all pray for us. But send your donation. We need it before Wednesday, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey. You know, and we need this. We have pressing problems. We're working on this to help. We're not here to put a bag down, but we want to put this on your heart. Ramadan is also a time of charity. Help feed somebody. Go to the shelter. Take a meal to somebody. Don't you can't fast, man. Don't worry about if you got heart trouble. Don't worry about if you got diabetes. Don't worry about if you got some type of illness. Find out what it costs to feed somebody. And give them a meal that you would eat. $10-$15. Hey, brother, this is the meal that I would have eaten. Here it is for you. Huh? Can't make them days up. Give it to somebody. You shouldn't fast if you're on medication. You know you got medication. And if you can fast 3 or 4 hours, that's fine. God sees it. He records it.
He said, they're my servant. They're my slave, trying to please me. But he doesn't want his servant suffering. He just wants to purify his servant. We have a merciful Lord, and that is missing in our religion today. It's missing mercy. We should be kind and smile to each other, loving to each other. Our countenance should suggest. I met Muslims back in the 8th missile. Their countenance was so sweet, so pleasant. It just attracted me. They were so, yes, my brother, the love and serenity that they exhibit was an act of charity. It was an act of mercy. It was an act of peace. Let's get back to that. Let's get to that. We should have it more than ever under the Quran. Huh? Don't mind taking a risk. Hey, the guy may curse you out. Hey, but you're doing it for God's sake. You've surrendered your will for God. Don't be defensive. Don't worry about what he thinks. Worry about what you think and your effort to please God. And let me tell you something. If you do it that way, you will never be disappointed. You will never feel let down. You may get a moment of down feeling as a human being, but you will feel strong. You will feel empowered because you know that you're doing the work of God. Give your will over to God. God's mercy will be upon you. His love will be upon you. And I must tell you, too, that this is a time of intense devotional practices. This is a time that you, with bad thoughts come to your mind, say glory to God. Say, God is greater. But before that, this is you say glory to God. All praise is due to God. And God is greater. Now, I'm not here to give just you Muslims. You should know this. If you don't, you come to a class, that's another thing. How you going to fight this world? And you don't go to any classes. You go to the masjid if you go at all. Some of you do listen to the broadcast, and we're going to facilitate some type of conference call so we can have some Quranic studies and compare it to religion. Because the way I teach Quran, religion is I teach it the way Imam Muhammad taught it. He called it compared to religion. Because you know what? If so many of us think that we are really Muslims, we're not. We still are Christians. We profess al-Islam. But we don't know the differences. See, a Muslim is not going to spend his time in a khutbah talking about generosity and help. The Muslim lecture is not on improving the individual. The Muslim lecture and focus is on building the community. The shahadatain, the salat, the zakat, the psalm, fasting, all of that, the hajj. All is for community life, to optimize community, even while we're in community. For what purpose? Huh? There's somebody down in Brazil. There's somebody right now, a four-year-old child, that had to leave his mother or his father because there was so much violence in El Salvador and Guatemala. You should have concern for those children. Now, had to leave their parents. We had to do that in the South, right? Had to go by road, come out north, stay with the brothers. Sometimes people molested you. Should we think about those former children? So when we are living our lives, we should be living it for those children. We should be living it so that they can be inspired, and we should work hard and say, God, help me to give my will up to you so I can be into a community, huh? That I can build the life that you want. So hope can be in El Salvador. That hope can be in Guatemala. Hope can be in Honduras. Hope can be in Mexico. I was pained by a poor person from Mexico that came to this country that doesn't speak even Spanish. Now, how many of y'all know this? They speak something called Mexica, the whole language of the people. Now, imagine that woman. Her husband left her. You don't have sympathy for her. You don't have a human heart. You don't have a human heart. This is the time to sensitize ourselves, to repent, to ask God to take that hatred out. See yourself not in some black power bag. See yourself as a servant of God. See your ethnic group as a servant for humanity. See yourself as a part of a community that is to lift up for all people and for all time. A new way gives himself to the will of God. Peace be on you and the nobility of God that he has bestowed upon you. Be with you. Any people that would like to, persons that would like to make some comments or to testify what Islam has done for you, please don't hesitate to just press one on your phone, and you will be certainly answered. That's 451, and then we're going to go off the air. We hope to see you in Chicago. Tomorrow we're going to be on the air with Brother Abdullah Sharif Akbar from Chicago, and we will be on again. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You have listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. Thank you.